Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
Demole Williams, touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, all right, all right. We are back. Another special edition of the Climbing the Pocket podcast as we keep things rolling along with our top five series. And I'm not going to lie, kind of excited about this one. You know, we joke around, we mess with the man, we call him wide receiver one. But I got my man, Miles Gorham, on tonight, and he's going to be chopping it up with me, telling you guys about his top five wide receivers in this incoming draft class. Miles, how you doing, man?
What's going on? I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Doing all right. Ready to get to this thing. But of course, before we jump all the way into your analysis, we do have to do a bit of shilling. So if you haven't already done it yet, hop on over to climbingthepocket.com, 2018 draft guide. You still have time to cram ahead of the draft. Best value you can get for a draft guide this draft season. Our man JR did work, comes with rankings, his big board, player comparisons, best scheme fit, etc., 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 etc. Pick it up, support a great cause, get the draft guide, get smarter, feel good about yourself. All right, that's enough of that. Let's get to it, Miles, because as I said, you know, I've been putting you to work here over these last couple days as we move through the different position groups here. We got you in with the tight ends, you know, put you in for an extended tour of duty with the defensive backs there. And you finally now get the payoff where you get to talk about the position that you love oh so much.
Oh, yeah.
The wide receiver position. And I hear a lot of things, you know, when I either listen to other podcasts or I'm reading, you know, different things online where people don't really seem excited about this class. And there doesn't really seem to even be a consensus in terms of, you know, who the best guys are. Pretty much everywhere you go has a different kind of order for their top 10, top five. So I'm excited to hear from you here. Number five for Miles Gorham, Mr. Wide Receiver. Who do you have and why?
Yeah, I mean, just to jump back real quick, you talked about the level of this wide receiver class compared to like maybe years past and all that. And I think the biggest part of it is I don't see anybody here that's worthy of like a top 20 pick. This year, I don't see anybody that's, you know, that prototypical, like, can't-miss guy. Like, last year, you had guys like Corey Davis and even Mike Williams were all guys that you're like, yeah, those guys are – their tape and their production and everything that they can do at the next level really does scream, you know, potential wide receiver one status, you know, at the next level. And I think at this point right now, looking at some of the guys, the top-tier guys in this draft, it's kind of hard to peg that just because there's so many different types of receivers in this draft. You can get guys from all over the place. You know, you got your speed, your big prototypical guys, you know, and your gadget guys, stuff like that. But I think, like I said before, the biggest thing in this class is there just really isn't that one consensus guy that everybody's pounding the table for. Like, that's the guy I have to have. He's got to be my guy in the top 10, top 15. There isn't that guy this year. And for various reasons, but to jump into my top five, I think,
And hold on, since we did go down a certain path,
yeah.
And with you saying that, I almost feel like that's probably a good thing, right? With, like, you know, with Mike Williams, even like his production profile wasn't really great, but he was like your traditional big wide receiver. It's kind of the same thing with Corey Davis, the big dude, like you say, like the prototypical wide receiver that we maybe grew up watching play. But I think maybe teams are starting to appropriately value some of these players versus, you know, forcing picks like John Ross happen when they shouldn't. And also maybe just finding better ways to use their wide receivers and realizing maybe it's just a better way to run an offense if you have a lot of guys to throw to versus like, I'm gonna throw it to my, you know, alpha dog every single time down and that kind of thing. So, you know, yeah, I don't see any Mike Williams because, you know, you know, his best comparable player on player profiler was, you know, Laquan Treadwell.
Yeah.
So, we know how that turned out. Hopefully the Chargers get better luck. But anyway, on to your top five.
You're talking about a prototypical, like, X, you know, big body receiver. That's my fifth wide receiver in this class, Michael Gallup from Colorado State. I think he was a guy I got to a little bit late in the class just because, you know, going through all the different names, all the different, you know, throughout all the different positions. He was just the guy I didn't really get to early on, so I didn't really have him ranked very high when I first started the process. But as time went on, you know, I started dwindling down my top 10, that down to my top five. And I, you know, it was tough between, you know, for guys like, you know, Michael Gallup. I don't have guys like DJ Chark or James Washington or, you know, some of those guys in my top five, but Michael Gallup beat those guys out just because I think overall, like you talked about, Jason, is, you know, the consensus guys, those guys that can come in and be that on the ball X receiver that, you know, you get isolated one-on-one with a cornerback. He's that kind of receiver for me. He's got strong hands. He can pluck the ball away from his body. You know, very, very fluid when he runs routes. I think, you know, it's just some of the biggest things for him, for me, that I think he needs to work on is his release off the line, some of his moves out of breaks. He's a little choppy at times, you know, not quite refined there yet, which I think obviously he can get to that point, but he gets downfield. He's good after the catch. He's strong. So I think, you know, he's the type of guy I think that could go on day two, you know, maybe even like a top 60, top 50 pick right in that range. I wouldn't, where I worry with him though is some of that he creates separation on his own, which is fantastic because he does use his strength and he uses some of that quickness that he has. But I think at the next level where he's really going to struggle is with some of that where he did the things that he did really well in college. I think with the level of athletes that he's going to be going up against in the NFL, I think that's where he might struggle early on with, you know, just getting some of that, getting off the line and be able to go up against big physical corners, you know, guys like Xavier Rhodes and Jalen Ramsey and stuff like that. So I think, like I said, I think he could be a really good player at the next level and he could jump in and be your prototypical X receiver. It kind of has some Malcolm Mitchell to me when I watch him. And I went back and watched Malcolm Mitchell. They remind me a lot of each other, ran similar 40s coming out of college. They're similar size. I think Gallup's got a little bit more of a like bigger build than Malcolm Mitchell did coming out. But I think overall, I think they're pretty comparable for me. And I really liked Malcolm Mitchell coming out. And before he got hurt last year, he had a pretty good rookie season for the, you know, Patriots back in 2016. So I like Gallup a lot. I think he's going to be a good player.
Yeah, and, you know, Malcolm Mitchell, again, you know, speaking my language there, I'm also a Malcolm Mitchell enthusiast, we'll say, and hope that he can get back on the field. But Michael Gallup, I mean, you mentioned a couple of the things there, but you know, Pro Football Focus has him as kind of far and away their number one wide receiver in this draft class. And I'm wondering, just based on some of the things that you've said there, is he the type of guy that, you know, maybe similar to like a Juju Smith-Schuster, could start off, you know, in the slot, moving around to kind of alleviate some of those concerns you have with him on the outside, and then maybe move him back outside as he starts to pick up some of those nuances of the NFL game?
Yeah, I definitely think that's a really good point. I think that's a really good comparison in terms of where he could go in the NFL just because of some of those early concerns before, you know, before he could potentially transition into an outside role, moving him into the slot. You know, kind of guys like, he's not as big, but like guys like Marcus Colston with the Saints, I think a lot of what they're going to do with Cameron Meredith in New Orleans now, I think a lot of that is kind of what Michael Gallup could do early on, and which could help him see the field early on, which I think could go a long way for a lot of teams that are in need of some slot help, especially for guys. You want to create those mismatches against smaller corners who play the nickel, or against linebackers you can outrun, and safeties you want to be able to outbody and stuff like that. So I think it's always smart and a good move to try to put bigger good athletes against either smaller or slower or, you know, whatever kind of athletes you're playing against on the defensive side. So I like that idea. I think it could work based off of kind of what you need him to do.
That's awesome. Well, take me to number four. Who you got here? Because I'm not gonna lie, because I know you, I'm not really surprised about this, but I do want you to tell me why it's this guy and not your other guy that made it into this spot here at number four.
Yeah. So for me, I like guys that are good at running routes. I like guys that are, you know, they don't need to be a blazing speed kind of guy. They can do a little bit of everything. For me, this, I don't think he's quite on that level as like a Keenan Allen for me in terms of route running and some of the stuff he does, but I think there are some slight similarities. My number four guy is Dante Pettis. I think I think if you look at the way the guy runs routes, the way he's able to pluck the ball away from his body with ease, can, you know, make contested catches, run away from people. He creates separation throughout his routes off the line of scrimmage. And you add the fact that he's probably arguably the best punt returner coming out of college in a long time. I think he holds the record. He holds the record for career punt return yardage in college football with, I think, 9 was the final. I think the final number for him before he was done at Washington. So the guy does a lot of great things. I think he could come in and be a wide receiver too right away. I think he could come in and help with any team. You know, like teams like the Cowboys are looking for guys who just need, who can create separation and get themselves open. I think he'd be a good fit for them in like round 2, round 3. He's more of a I think the issue that some people are going to have with him is he's got a slighter frame. I think he came in just under 190, 6'1", 190. So I think the frame might worry people a little bit because he's a little more wiry like that. But for him, what's great is it doesn't ever seem to be a big problem just because he's really good at contorting his body and kind of getting away from taking big blows and stuff like that. So I'm a big fan of his, like I said, and I think going forward, I think, you know, he ran a good 40 time at his pro day, or he ended up not running at the combine or at his pro day just because I think he had a hamstring injury. But once he had his actual workout, he tested pretty well. I think he ran like official 4.48, which is kind of that range I expected him to run. He's not a complete burner, but he's the guy that, like I said, with the way he runs routes, the way he creates off the line of scrimmage for himself, he creates that separation and can get downfield. He can be a downfield threat just because of that. He knows the nuances at the top of the route to get in and out of breaks. Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time seeing him get outside of, you know, the top 50 of picks. So it wouldn't surprise me if he went in the third round, just because I don't think, like I said before, I don't think teams are going to quite view him as high as others, but just because of his frame and some of that. But I think he's a top 50 pick easily.
So I'm not going to lie, I was a little surprised here where this was, even though I know you love Pettis, that it was Pettis and not Miller. I guess what ended up kind of swaying you towards Pettis and not, you know, Anthony Miller in this spot?
I think for me, I really like Anthony Miller too. He was in that, you know, top 5 range too, with, you know, with Michael Gallup, DJ Chark, and, you know, guys like James Washington and stuff like that. But Anthony Miller, I think, is just the consistency at level of it, at, you know, because of injuries and some of the age issues. I know he came out a little late too at Memphis, which doesn't really help. But like I said, I like Anthony Miller a lot. I think he'd probably be my number 6 guy if I was doing a top 10, you know, or even like a 5B type player. He's that good. But I just think what Pettis does route running wise and what he does with the ball away from his body and everything like that, I don't think there's many guys that run routes. Him and Deshaun Hamilton are probably the 2 best route runners in this class for me. So I think that's kind of where the separation is overall. So, and Calvin Ridley, I'll put Calvin Ridley on that level too, because he's a really good route runner. But their route running, I think, is probably what separates them the most.
Okay, well, you know, we'll go to the opposite end of the spectrum then, since we're talking about run running. Let's talk about your number 3. Your number 3
receiver. Right. I mean, it's kind of funny but, you know, you go back and forth and you watch guys initially, and then you come back and you give yourself some time to kind of reevaluate a player, just to, you know, you don't want to end a player just always on a negative unless, you know, that's where their final board is. But, you know, a guy like Cortland Sutton, most years, which I'm kind of surprised it's still not the case this season, but most years with his size and his overall speed and some of the production he was able to put up, you would think he'd be the consensus wide receiver 1, just because he's 6'3", 220, you know, 215, ran a 4.455. I mean, I think his agility, his 3 cone was, I think, one of the best 3 cones out of the wide receiver class this year.
I've heard some say it was the best size adjusted 3 cone maybe ever. player profiler has his agility score at the 97th percentile, which is crazy for somebody his size.
For that big, which, you know, you'd think, and again, maybe come draft day, that ends up being what the with the first wide receiver goes, it could be Courtland Sutton. But for me, what I really like about Courtland Sutton to start is just the fact that, I mean, he is big. He's really good after the catch, you know, for a guy his size, hence the three cone score. You know, he's really intriguing. You know, you get him isolated one-on-one with a cornerback. You can move him all around. He has some of that like Marcus Colston style to his game. Put him in the slot like we talked about with Michael Gallup. Put him in the slot, line him up against, you know, smaller players in the at nickel, or, you know, slower linebackers, or you know, safeties that can't run with him or can't jump with him. So do stuff like that with Courtland Sutton. I think if you get creative with him, you can create ways to get him to make him productive, because he can be a jump ball guy in the red zone too. Where I think the biggest misperception with him is because he's 6'3", 216, or whatever the final number was for his weight. He doesn't fully use that size, which I think is the biggest problem with me for his game. Is if he used his size the way guys like Dez Bryant and Julio Jones and some of those big body receivers, they out muscle guys. They use it to create separation for themselves, and they use that size to win in the red zone and stuff like that. And you don't see Courtland Sutton do that all the time. He tries to play more of like a finesse player, and he tries to play more like a smaller receiver, kind of like the Anthony Millers, the Calvin Ridleys, Dante Pettis's of the world. You know, those guys that are wiry and more quick twitch. That's the way he tries to play. And sometimes I think that does him a disservice, because you want to get a guy like him to come in and be that big guy, big body guy that, you know, you need to get a first down on third and four, third and five, third and six. You need that. You need to be able to trust your guy to go pluck the ball away from his hands and to win physically against a defensive back. And sometimes he just doesn't do that. So that's where I worry the most. But like I said, that combination of size and speed and quickness is really hard to pass up. And it's really hard not to love that on tape when you watch him, because he does show a lot of that. You put him in on tunnel screens and you get him out in space, and he's really good. And he's good at, you know, has a really good stiff arm, and he runs away from guys, like I said. So I think there's a lot of that that's very intriguing. There's a lot of, I know people like to say like a Dez Bryant, but which I guess you could use that for some of the stuff he does, especially after the catch, but he's not as physical as Dez Bryant was coming out. I think if you wanted to put more of a comp on him, I think what Larry Fitzgerald is right now, I think he could be used as. You use him, you know, in the slot, get mismatches, get him to get open in those ways, the kind of way I talked earlier. So that's what I really like about Courtland Sutton early. He's kind of got a lot of that Michael Gallup to me, where he does need work, you know, getting off the line and using that physicality to create that separation. If he can continue to work on that the next level and go to the right team, it wouldn't surprise me if he's going to be a top 35 pick. You know, if he doesn't go late round one, I could see him going early round two.
That's awesome, man. What do you make of the Alshon Jeffrey comps that have been thrown around? Because I've heard Alshon Jeffrey is one that I see a lot.
Another good one.
And then, but I've also kind of heard him comped to Demaryius Thomas, because his route tree was pretty limited. And so that his kind of development, depending on how he's used, could be slower coming into the league, like Demaryius Thomas's was, until he got with, you know, Peyton Manning, and the rest was kind of history. So I guess, what are your thoughts there? Of those two kind of big name receivers that we know, do you like the Alshon comp better, or do you like the Demaryius comp better?
I think probably more of the Demaryius comp, just because of the run after the catch. I don't think Alshon's quite up to that level as Demaryius after the catch. And I think their size, I think Alshon wins in a little bit of a different way than Courtland Sutton does coming out of college. You know, Alshon does use that, his strength and size to win, that sometimes Courtland Sutton doesn't use. But Demaryius Thomas does play a little more of a finesse style. I think he's more physical than Courtland Sutton is coming out of college, but they play similarly when they try to, you know, with the ball in their hands, and they use guys like they use Demaryius Thomas with a lot of screens, and they use him as that gadget guy sometimes, where you move him around and put him in the slot, and you can move him all around. And I think that's a really good comp for Courtland Sutton, just because of the size and the speed and the quickness after the catch.
Awesome. All right. Well, this is where it starts to get a little fun here. Who do you got at number two?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is kind of, it's really, the overall consensus has been Calvin Ridley or DJ Moore, Calvin or DJ Moore or Calvin Ridley, who's everybody's wide receiver one in this class. Like you talk, I know you use Player Profiler a lot, Jason, and you look at this guy's Player Profiler number or pro player comparison, excuse me. Calvin Ridley's, it's not very good. If you look in terms of comparing overall like workout metrics and some of the production come out of college, Calvin Ridley's is comparable to Jared Aberderis coming out of Wisconsin for, I think, 2015, I think that was the year. But it's kind of a little bit of a disrespectful comp, I guess. But that's, I mean, Aberderis wasn't a scrub coming out of Wisconsin, but he was no Calvin Ridley coming out of Wisconsin either. So I think that was kind of a disrespectful a comp for him. But I mean, I think that's where the biggest misperception is with Ridley is, I know he's a little bit older. He's going to be, he'll be 24 right before the season. He turns 24, I think, this summer. So he'll be a lot older than all of these guys coming out of college already, which doesn't really do him any favors, just because for me, I think that's where some of my biggest issues with Calvin Ridley is I think he's going to be a really good player at the next level, and I think he's going to contribute early on, which is fantastic, and that's what you want when you draft somebody in the top, 20, 25 picks. You want them to contribute right away and be a really good force for your offense. But I think with him, I think Calvin Ridley is kind of closer to his cap in terms of what I think he's going to do at the NFL level compared to what, in line with what he did in college. I mean, obviously the biggest issue for him coming out of college was, his quarterback, Jalen Hurts, was really struggled to get him the ball in space and really struggled to get him the ball accurately downfield. So it really hurt his overall production numbers, especially his last two seasons. But I think if you look at the way he runs routes, like I said, he's arguably you can put in conversation with him Deshaun Hamilton or Dante Pettis for me, who runs better routes. And you can convince me it's Calvin Ridley, just because the way he's able to break down defenders, the way he's able to get into eat up DB's cushions and force them, which to basically guess which way he's going because of the way he sets up defenders like that. So I really love Ridley's route running. He's really good at finding ways to pluck the ball out of the air and use his hands away from his body, which is always big, especially for a guy his size. He's not the biggest guy. He's kind of in that Dante Pettis range. He's 6'1", 190-ish, right around that range. So they're pretty comparable to me in that sense. He's a little bit more overall dynamic than like a guy like Dante Pettis in terms of the ball in his hands. He's gonna break your ankles. I mean, the guy in open space is crazy. He's crazy good. Like, I know when he was a freshman, right when Amari Cooper was coming out of college, I know there's a lot of comparisons between those two, which makes a lot of sense because there's some similarities there, and there's some similarities in terms of what they're where they struggle. Calvin Ridley, I think, is going to struggle at the next level with contested catches against bigger defensive backs, and I think he's not all that strong either. So I think he's going to struggle creating separation off the line of scrimmage with some of these guys, like Xavier Rhodes is a perfect example, just because those guys love to get their hands on receivers, and if Calvin Ridley is going to be playing on the outside at some points, it's gonna be really tough for him to be able to get off the line at times. But using that quickness that he does have and using some of those moves to set up defensive backs is also going to help him a lot too. Like I said, I think he's going to be able to play and be very effective early on, just because he is older than most wide receivers coming out of college. His route running, his nuance, the way he's able to set up defenders, I think all of that is very good for him. So I think, like I said, I think he's going to contribute day one with whatever team he goes to. I like him a lot, and I think, if he goes to the right team, like if you put him on a team where he doesn't have to be the wide receiver one from day one, I think that's going to go a long way for him, just so he can kind of have less pressure on him to do that. But I think if he went to a team like Baltimore at 16, it might be a little early for me to take him, but that'd be a solid move for him, because you have guys like Michael Crabtree on the other side who can kind of take over some of those targets, so he doesn't have to be that wide receiver one.
So would you say that he's kind of like this year's Sterling Shepard?
I think overall that's a good comparison in terms of the way they might come in and contribute. You don't want them to be your mainstay wide receiver, but they can come in and be your wide receiver two early on. But I think Ridley does have a little bit more of that opportunity to be a potential wide receiver one that Sterling Shepard, I don't think, has. So I think that's where my difference is between the two.
Okay, that's fair. Well, I mean, I'm excited about who you're going to talk about next, but who is your number one? Who is the guy that you have leading the way with the wide receivers in this class?
Yeah, I basically gave it away earlier when I said, it's between DJ Moore and Calvin Ridley. You can kind of go both ways here, but DJ Moore, I think he does a little bit of everything. I mean, he's not even 20 years old yet. Electric with the ball in his hands. Like, he's one of the better playmakers I've seen in the last couple seasons with the ball in his hands. I mean, he's like a running back when you get the ball in his hands. I know we talked about Anthony Miller earlier, who's kind of got that Percy Harvin style to him once he gets the ball in his hands. But DJ Moore's got a lot of that. He's got a lot of that Golden Tate in him, where he's not going to go down off arm tackles. You're not just going to take him down easily with and intimidate him going across the middle, stuff like that. He's not afraid to do that. He's not afraid to go get the ball sudden, quick. He's the ultimate gadget player, but he's also got downfield playmaking ability, which I think sets him apart from guys like Calvin Ridley, just because, like I said earlier, he's a little thicker built, so he can kind of take on more than some of those other guys can in terms of how they handle contact, because he does have a lot of that Percy Harvin. You can move him all around the field. You can put him in the backfield. You can put him running as an H-back. You can line him out wide. You can line him up in the slot. You can do anything you want with him and just get creative, because I think that's what the most fun part is with him. But at the same time, it's not like a Jarvis Landry where you're going to do it within – All of his receptions are going to be within, 8 to 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. He can get downfield. He can win downfield, and he's going to win those contested catches. I do think there's a really good similarity with his former teammate and Stephon Diggs coming out of college, just because of the way some of the similar ways they play. But I think with DJ Moore, the benefit for him is there isn't quite the injury issues that Stephon Diggs had. He's bigger built, and I think he's a little bit better after the catch than Stephon Diggs was coming out of college. And I'm not even trying to slight Stephon Diggs, because, that guy in open space is crazy good. But I think DJ Moore is just one of those guys who, to me, is on another level. It's really hard to find a guy like him and that does the stuff he does. So I know you're a big fan of his too. So if you wanted to touch on any of that.
Oh, no, you got everything for me. As you kind of said there, from an analytics perspective, DJ Moore is kind of the he's the player around which many are rallying, because his market share, college dominator numbers were so far off the charts, and then he went and blew up the combine too. So
yep.
It's hard to find something that's wrong or a chink in the armor from an analytics perspective, and then you're having someone who watched the tape kind of be as excited as you very obviously were right there when you started talking about him. It just It makes me happy. Where would you like to see him go, though? Like, where are the best places?
He just turned 21, too, by the way, so I was wrong. Being 21 at, your rookie year is perfect. For me, I think if you talk about a perfect range for him to go, I think Dallas could be a decent spot at 19. I think Carolina at 24 would be another really good one. I think those are two spots that both teams need players that can create separation for themselves, and they can get themselves open, but at the same time, they can those teams need players that can create in space too. So that's exactly what DJ Moore is, and I think he's a top 25 pick in this draft, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if you went right in that range. Even Arizona at 15 could be another good one, just because they need wide receiver help a lot for their incumbent quarterback. Sam Bradford. So, but we know he likes to throw the ball around the line of scrimmage. And I think if that's what they wanted to do with DJ Moore, that's perfect because that's what he's really good at. So he'd be a pretty good complement to Larry Fitzgerald early on. He wouldn't have all that pressure to be the number one guy. In Dallas, he might have a little bit more of that pressure just because they have guys like Allen Hurns and Terrence Williams as their top receivers, so they're not quite up to that par. And then Carolina, he'd do it'd be a really good wide receiver too right away, just because Devin Funchess has played pretty well down the stretch last season. They still have Greg Olsen, Christian McCaffrey, another young guy in Curtis Samuel. So they do have some weapons in Carolina. So I think the pressure for him there wouldn't be as high, just because he wouldn't have to be the top dog right away.
Yeah, I pity whatever receiver, if they do draft a receiver in the first round in Dallas, I pity that person.
Right.
I don't want to have to step into those shoes with just the never-ending media frenzy that goes on around there about everyone, which makes no sense because they haven't been good in a really, really long time. But anywho, let's not go down that route because you ended us on a fantastic note talking about a fantastic prospect. And as I've said to you on many occasions, I love talking wide receivers with you because there's a palpable excitement in your voice when you start getting in there and talking about it that I love, and I'm sure the listeners are going to love it too. So Miles, thank you for coming on with me tonight. Thank you for talking wide receivers. Thanks for all the hard work you've put in on the top five series thus far. And it's draft week, so I'll definitely be talking to you again soon, my man.
I definitely appreciate it, dude.
All right, listeners, thanks for sticking with us. And like I said, we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.